Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
9:39, and this is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. The time that we always visit with our pal, Dr. Kevin Most, the Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern's Central DuPage Hospital. Good morning, Dr. Most.
Good morning, Dean. How are you?
Doing very well. I want to try to start off with some good news. Not often we can do that when we talk all things COVID here, but it looks as though the number of deaths at long-term care facilities in the state of Illinois have dropped to their lowest levels since last August. It's a long time. Is that because of immunization? Is that because they're so isolated? To what do you think we're attributing this?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of three things. One, we got their staff vaccinated as early as we possibly could. They were in that first grouping. Two, we have learned more about the spread of this illness, and we really have isolated them. But yeah, I think that that's very promising news. It was, you know, reported yesterday in the Tribune this morning. And then also just look at the positivity rate right now. So when you look at a lower positivity rate, vaccinated employees and vaccinated staff and vaccinated patients, we see exactly what we were hoping to see.
Yeah, despite all of the problems that there have been with the distribution of the vaccine, we are looking at numbers that are better, right? I mean, things seem to be on an upswing slightly.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at the positivity rate decreasing, you know, to a lowest rate it's been since this summer, that's just outstanding. You know, our positivity rate somewhere between 2.8 and 3.2. Those are numbers we haven't heard in a long time. Couple that with our vaccination rates starting to go up, and I think you'll see a dramatic increase here next month. I think we're in a much better place, and really looks very promising.
Yeah. So what about the distribution of the vaccine? That seems to be the number one concern that people are having right now, that even people who are above 65 years of age that are, you know, supposed to have been in the first group, even they're having trouble finding a place to get their vaccinations.
Yeah, so this was pretty predictable. If you think about it, you need two shots. The shots are 21 or 28 days apart. So we really knew 28 days ago that we were going to be in this place. In other words, the production hasn't doubled in that period of time. So all those individuals who got their first shot are now taking the doses for their second shot, and we don't have a lot more new first doses. An increase of 10-15% in production really doesn't equate to what we need. We actually need an increase in production probably closer to 60-70%, which we'll see when J&J comes out and when we get into March.
So should people be panicking? I mean, I don't know if it's exactly at that stage yet, but I think as people are hearing, hey, I got my first vaccination, hey, I got this, I got that, and other people are, you know, doing everything that they can to try to find some place to get their parents vaccinated, you know, they panic a little bit, and they're, you know, they try to push ahead in line any place that they possibly can.
Yeah, I would say don't panic now. Continue doing what you're doing. You should be reassured that the positivity rate is down, so our chance of being exposed is much lower. Continue all the mitigation that we've been doing, which has driven this down, and know that more vaccine is around, will be around very soon. So I think that I'm expecting really by April, May, it's going to be open season. Anybody who wants a shot is going to be able to get a shot. And we've gone this far, so let's just have a little bit of patience. Let's follow the rules. Let's not try to jump in line, because that's just going to really cause more frustration with everybody. So I just say patience at this point.
Yeah, and keep those masks on. Keep that social distancing. Remember, I don't know how many months ago, but it seemed like the worst had passed. They were starting to open restaurants again. They were starting to open things up a little bit, and everybody went nuts, and everybody took their masks off, and nobody was social distancing. I'm afraid we're going to get back into that kind of situation. Is there going to come a time where it's safe to not wear a mask, that it's safe to not social distance?
You know, I think masks will be with us for a while until we really get to what we are going to determine to be herd immunity. So now the argument is, well, we need to do enough pediatrics, in other words, to get to herd immunity. And if we do, then, you know, you will have to wear masks and do all those things. That being said, someone who has received two of the vaccines can certainly interact now with people who have received two of the vaccines. So, you know, I think I'm telling people, you know, it's cautious optimism, but still, I think getting the vaccine in everyone's arm as quickly as possible will get us back to some sort of normalcy.
Yeah, I want to get to your questions for Dr. Most, 312-981-7200 to call in or to text, 312-981-7200. And Anne, how about if you start things off with Dr. Kevin Most this morning? Hi.
Hi, Dean. Hi, Dr. Most.
Good morning, Anne.
I have a question for you, Dr. Most. I'm going to be having reconstructive foot surgery on my left foot on Friday. I did receive the vaccine 2 weeks ago today. I'm going for a COVID test on Tuesday as protocol before surgery. I'm wondering if there's a possibility I will test positive because I had the vaccine.
No possible way will you test positive because you had the vaccine. Impossible. That will never happen. Now, that being said, if you've been exposed to somebody with COVID, you still could test positive. But the vaccine will not make a COVID test positive. We aren't giving you the virus itself. We are teaching the body how to fight the virus. So certainly you will not test positive because of the vaccine. And good luck with your surgery.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Good luck with the surgery, Anne. Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate the call. Here's the 630 area code. What should I do if I can't get my Moderna second shot within the 4 to 6 weeks? Been a bit problem with that, with the weather. They haven't been able to get shipments in, and a lot of people are concerned that their first vaccine, you know, is going to be rendered useless if they don't get their second one in time.
Well, I would say don't be overly concerned. We know we don't want to go early because that will not give you the response we want. We know that up to 12 weeks after that first shot, you will still get a great response. It's one of the arguments people are saying, well, why aren't we giving more first shots and delaying the second, knowing that information? We've kind of gone down this road already. It's kind of turned back. But those individuals who, because of weather, because of the vaccine not being delivered on time, don't worry about it. You're going to get that second dose. And as long as it's within the next, I would say, you know, 10 weeks, you will get the same immune response that anybody who's getting it between, you know, the 4 week period. So don't be overly concerned. Your body will remember this and you will still get the immune response. That being said, we also know that we're getting great immune response just from the first shot alone. So rest assured that you have very good protection already, but you'll get to maximize that protection when you get the second shot.
219 area code says, please, please, please ask the great Dr. Kevin Most. I love how they butter you up like that before they actually get to the question. Ask Kevin if you can switch between Pfizer and Moderna in regards to taking one as your first dose and the other as your second dose.
Right. So there's a study going on to see if that can occur. Right now, that's not the recommendation, mainly because the two vaccines are actually fighting different parts of the virus. Now, some people are going to say, well, we get such a great response with the first dose with Moderna. Wouldn't it make sense that we would get a second dose with Pfizer? Because now we're fighting two different ways of the virus. That's what they're looking at right now. But the way the trial was run, it was Moderna, Moderna, Pfizer, Pfizer. So I think that wherever you got it, they should have that second dose for you. And right now, until that new study comes out, stick with the one that you got first.
Dr. Kevin Most from Central DuPage Hospital on the line with us. Your questions, 312-981-7200. Next. Dr. Kevin Most, Medical Director, Central DuPage Hospital, on the line with us like he always is on Sunday morning for all things COVID-19 and answering your questions. Carrie, you are on with Dr. Kevin Most. Hello.
Morning, Kevin. Hey, I have a question for Kevin. So we live in DeKalb County, and I'm way down on the list in terms of vaccinations, but my wife is, she's both a registered nurse and a vet tech, practicing both. So she's, she's essentially double essential, I guess you would term it. She can't find a vaccine, and she knows how to work the system. So my question is, why did the governor open up the next tier below that, knowing that there's no vaccines? Is there a medical reason for that? Because it's, you were talking about frustration and, so I'm just curious.
Yeah, it would seem like until you fulfilled one of the tiers, you shouldn't open another one. That does make sense.
No, is there a medical reason for that, or is it? I'm just curious because, I mean, she's really frustrated. Like I said, she's, she's a hospice care nurse.
Sure.
But she knows.
Seems like she should have been immunized a long time ago. Kev, what do you think?
So Carrie, you kind of hit on the 800-pound gorilla in the room. The governor has taken that and opened that up, and all he has really done is shift the frustration off of his office to all of us. Saying, now it's in the hospital's hands, it's in the vaccinator's hands, I have approved that to occur. So it is very frustrating because we haven't even gotten through the 1B before we hit the 1C. Now, that being said, your wife at a 1B, she should contact Kishwaukee Hospital. It's one of the Northwestern hospitals out there.
Sure.
We are healthcare providers in the community that aren't affiliated with a hospital. So definitely she should reach out to them and see their next open clinic at that time. But you hit on a very hot point right now. The governor opening that up to the 1Cs of the world, which is going to be a huge number because we're talking about people between the ages of 16 and 64 with any one of a multitude of health problems, anywhere from diabetes, asthma, heart disease, obesity. That number is going to be huge, and we certainly do not have the vaccine for it. So it is frustrating when we haven't gotten through the 1Bs, hospice nurses like your wife, and yet the governor is telling everyone else, okay, anybody can get the shot that falls into 1C.
Yeah, sure. No, that makes sense. And like I said, because you guys, the reason I talked about it is you mentioned panic and frustration, and this will just lead to more. So I was just curious as to why the decision was made,
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. That's for sure.
We'll figure it out either way, but I love hearing you guys, and thanks, Dr. Most. You must not sleep very much these days, so thanks for everything you're doing.
Carrie, thanks for the call.
Carrie, thanks for what your wife does, too. I don't know if everybody understands what hospice nurses do and how they make sure that people at the end of their life are comfortable and the family. I can't tell you the importance of what she does, and thank her for her service.
Yep, absolutely. I'm here to tell you how important they are. Judy, you're on WGN with Dr. Kevin Most.
Hi, Dr. Most. I had my first shot, and then I got what I read is called COVID arm. And so my question is, should I get the second shot? Should I get it in the other arm? Is there anything I can do to prevent it from happening again?
When you're saying COVID arm, you mean just you got a sore arm?
I got the shot, and the day after, the spot turned red, and it hurt, and then everything went away, and everything was fine. And then maybe 9 days later, it came back. And it was red, swollen.
Yeah. Did you get any blistering in that, on the arm?
No. But it was red, and it was sore and hot to the touch, and it itched.
Yeah. So some people are getting COVID arm, and it's actually cut exactly like Judy just said. A week later, you kind of get this other inflammatory response where the shot was given. Our recommendation is that you go in the other arm so that you don't go into an area that's already been inflamed. So go ahead and get that second shot in the other arm. And I would also say, after you get the second shot, not before, but after you get the second shot, consider taking some Advil for probably a day or two to help keep that inflammation down. You may see another good response. And I'll tell you, that is actually a good sign. It's showing that your immune response is working. But certainly out of comfort for you, after you get the shot, go ahead and take some Advil or ibuprofen just to keep your symptoms better.
So is that to say that if somebody doesn't get those that kind of response, that it's not working as well?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, I got the shots, obviously, both of them. And all I have is little arm tenderness. But the studies that have shown that some people's immune system come out and become more symptomatic, mm-hmm. where others' immune systems work without really causing any illness or discomfort.
708 area code says, I know someone who said because people are getting such good immunity with the first shot that she isn't going to get the second shot. I love when you take advice from somebody I know.
Yeah. So it is probably one of our biggest concerns, because all of the studies are coming out now showing that we're getting 70-80% protection from that first shot. And if people had any symptoms whatsoever, they're saying, why would I go and do that? I can tell you that your opportunity to get that big immune response and to get to that 90-95% effective rate comes with that second shot. So I would recommend to people right now, since we've gone this far down, hindsight, if we knew all this information a long time ago, I think we would have done this totally different. We would have given everybody a first shot and then done the second shots in May, June, July, yeah. when we're going to have ample supply.
Right.
But I would not break the cycle right now if you want to get the best response to protect yourself and those around you.
I'm sure you're keeping a track on what President Biden is doing and Dr. Fauci and the people who are now in charge of the COVID response. Politics aside and, you know, financial issues aside, what do you think about what it is that they are proposing, what they are saying now that we should do? And would you make any suggestions to make the system a little better?
Yeah, you know, I guess I would look at the frustration level right now and the supply level and say, should we be delaying the second dose in people and get more first doses in individuals? I think accelerating the pediatric testing, and when I say accelerating, I do not mean to do it faster. I mean to get more studies going on it right now. You know, right now we have two major studies going on, Pfizer and Moderna, that are looking at about 3,000 youths between the ages of 12 and 16. And people say, well, wait a second, we looked at 50,000 adults. Why are we only looking at 5,000? Because we're actually doing blood tests on them to see if they have the immune response versus if they actually got symptoms, because so many kids do not get the symptoms. So I would say that will be important as we go forward. And for me, I think the delivery of the vaccine right now and making sure that we're getting it into the right places. If you saw the news also, you know, the Black community and Latino community has been hit so hard with this illness. We should be focusing more on those communities right now. And I don't think we're doing that as properly as we should.
Yeah, I've read some stories about how people from outside of the Black and Brown community are going into the Black and Brown community to get their immunizations. Which means that there are fewer doses for people who actually live in those neighborhoods for whom those vaccinations were intended. So, yeah, there's some problems with all of this.
Yeah, the more organization you have on it, the better. I can tell you at Northwestern, what we've done is we've chosen the high hardship communities and high hardship zip codes, and we're inviting them.